It is not hard to destroy a college.
Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
WWL First News. Good morning. It's 6 o'clock. I'm Ian Ozan on your official weather station, WWL. 75 degrees on the South Shore, 72 on the North Shore.
Happy Tuesday. We're not expecting as stormy weather today, but there's still a chance for some rain. That sits at 40% this afternoon. The high is 90 degrees.
WWL TV meteorologist Peyton Malone has a full look at the forecast coming up in just a little bit. Louisiana and SpaceX officials today will announce that the rocket launching company recently taken public by billionaire Elon Musk is coming to the Pelican State. It's been kind of an open secret after the state legislature approved incentives for private spaceflight companies, and Musk's jet has been spotted at South Louisiana airports. Gulf Coast Bank and Trust CEO Guy Williams says it's a huge leap for the state's aerospace sector.
We have the Michoud Assembly Center, which has been gaining business. We have aeronautics and aerospace programs at Nunez. So we've started training workers for this. So we're getting ahead of it.
The project could mean thousands of new jobs. That announcement set for 11 o'clock this morning in Abbeville. A celebration of life ceremony for legendary LSU baseball coach and athletic director Skip Bertman will be held tonight at the Pete Maravich Assembly Center in Baton Rouge. WWL's Case Kieschnick has more.
The program begins at 7 p.m. with the doors opening to the public at 6. Public seating around the upper bowl is general admission. Former LSU national champion pitcher under Bertman, Doug Thompson, says he wants to see fans lined up on the PMAC ramps.
What makes LSU special, especially when you talk about LSU athletics, is what we do here is we show up.
He says this is a special opportunity to celebrate a Louisiana sports icon.
I can't imagine to tell you how much pride I'll have if that place is busting at the seams. It'll be tough for me to sit there with dry eyes.
The ceremony will be broadcast on ESPN Plus and SEC Network.
WWL News Time is 6:02. And it's time for ABC News.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. The Reno fire grew overnight, now 40 square miles. Discouraging news for the tens of thousands of people in shelters this morning, some with no homes to return to. Canada is expected to have more to say about the trade war that began this weekend with the U.S. when talks failed. The AP reporting Canada will be announcing retaliatory tariffs against the U.S., President Trump threatening higher tariffs, 50%, on cars and trucks made in Canada. Well, Ford, GM, Stellantis, and Honda all have plants there. Trump's executive order creating a federal list of eligible voters for mail-in ballots got the okay of the U.S. Supreme Court, ruling 6-3 on what the Constitution says is a state right, Hofstra professor James Sample.
The argument was the states have not yet been ordered to do anything, therefore the states have not yet been harmed, therefore the states, when they sued after this executive order was issued back in April, were in essence suing too soon.
This is ABC News.
I'm Nicole Murray with WWL First Business News. President Trump says the U.S. will impose 50% tariffs on automobiles and parts from Canada starting in January. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney.
This fall, we will begin intense discussions with the European Union, the world's second largest economy, to build a much stronger and deeper economic and security partnership.
U.S. tariffs on Canadian automobiles now stand at 25%. Target is apologizing for a Halloween circus clown costume that critics say resemble blackface. The retailer said the costume, called the Kids Glow Under Black Light Circus Halloween costume, has been pulled from store shelves. Oil prices have dropped by more than 2%, with investors awaiting the impact of the latest U.S. sanctions against Iran. West Texas Intermediate up to $82 a barrel, Brent at $89. Futures have risen this morning ahead of NVIDIA earnings. That's WWL First Business News. I'm Nicole Murray.
A Guinness World Record holder beats her own record, as ABC's Danny New reports.
Look out, 66-year-old Judy Oyama is once again skating into history.
I actually feel like I'm skating more.
This legendary speedster is being celebrated as the world's oldest female competitive skateboarder after extending a record she already held by 2 more years.
I remember seeing it at the library, and I'm very stoked.
This California native has been paving the way on the pavement for more than half a century. After one day when she was 13, her brother made a skateboard in woodshop class and brought it home.
WWL News Time is 6:05. Time for WWL Sports, brought to you by People's Health. The New Orleans Saints trying to get things together before the final preseason game on Friday. Here's WWL Steve Geller.
This training camp update sponsored by TrainSouth.com. It's hard to stop a train, but it's easy to afford one. Following a tough outing against the Rams, Saints running back Kendra Miller isn't sugarcoating their preseason performance. He knows film don't lie, and right now it's speaking volumes.
We got to put our best on display week in and week out. We got to go out there and put better tape out there. So we got one more opportunity in Dallas, so we just got to clean it up.
Less mess, more success. With the preseason finale against the Cowboys coming Friday, Miller and the rest of the Saints have one last shot to scrub the errors before games actually start to matter.
From the league back to college, the LSU football Tigers taking on some professionals who want to play their fifth year of eligibility. Here's WWL's Charlie Long.
This LSU update is brought to you by Raza's Markets. Shop Raza's, your number one local low price leader and the official supermarket of the New Orleans Saints. According to multiple reports, LSU signed tight end Daquan Wright and defensive tackle Xavier Harris, two former Ole Miss Rebels who began their professional careers as UDFAs in the 2026 NFL Draft before getting an injunction to play another season of college football. Harris specifically was with the Saints before getting waived earlier this month. Saints head coach Kellen Moore said while Harris never saw the practice field with New Orleans, his return to college football is a strange sign for the sport.
I just think it's unfortunate. There's no regulation to anything right now. Obviously, my brother coaches college football, so I get to follow closely from a fan perspective. It's a balancing act. Obviously, you want as many opportunities for all these guys at the same time. There's kids that just work their tail off all offseason. They have to make decisions on their roster now because of added players, and so hopefully there can be some leadership and some regulations developed here.
Coach Moore added that a return to college was not discussed when the Saints waived Harris a few weeks ago.
WWL News Time is 6:07.
Now, the Surf Pro Cleanup Restoration and Construction Forecast on WWL.
Happy Tuesday. We are in the throes of anniversaries for, well, terrible hurricanes that have hit our region. Luckily, we'll start with some good news. There are no tropical threats as we head through the remainder of August. We do have some rain in the forecast, though. There's a 40% chance today, 30% tomorrow, 50% on Thursday and Friday, and back down to about a 40% Saturday and Sunday. Highs most days will be in the low 90s. Nothing really unusual about that. From WWL Louisiana, I'm meteorologist Peyton Malone.
Thank you, Peyton. Right now it's 72 degrees on the North Shore, 75 on the South Shore. WWL News Time 6:07. Time for traffic. Courtney, what you got?
Things look pretty good out there. From Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters, WWL Traffic Center, I'm Courtney P. No issues or delays crossing the Bonnie Carey Spillway in either direction. I-10 East, Kenner to downtown New Orleans, about a 12-minute commute. I-10 West, New Orleans East to downtown, no problems there. Downtown Elevated and the Flyover are running at speed. Crescent City Connection wide open in both directions. Huey P. Long on the Causeway, no delays there. I-55 North and Southbound, free and clear. No delays on I-12, I-59. Is delay free. Traffic is sponsored by Audubon Gutters. And there's your look at traffic with Courtney P on WWL.
Thank you, Courtney. I'm Ian Ozan, WWL First News. And now with more WWL First News, here's Tommy Tucker on WWL AMFM.com.
And we are underway on this Tuesday morning, August 25th. And what with the talk of tariffs and trade wars and Strait of Hormuz and war and this and that and the other thing, I thought it'd be interesting to talk about when were the good old days for you? When were your good old days?
The 90s, because I didn't have to worry about bills. I didn't have to worry about responsibility.
All right, Courtney, you there or not? When were your good old days?
Ooh, I kind of like the early 2000s when I, you know, first got on the scene.
Yeah. You were born in 2000? Wow.
No, not that scene.
Oh,
I'm talking about the
scene. Yeah. I would say when my kid was born, my kid's 30 now, but I would say back about 30 years ago, that would be the, what would that make it? The 2026 minus 30 would
96.
Be 1996. There you go. So around then, 96. That would be my glory days. That's the halcyon days. So Texas. That's going to be taking it to the text survey today at 504-260-1870. Mario, you're a young man. What were your glory days? When were the good old days for you?
Man, I would have to say college. Like, yeah, early 2010s, like being on my own for the first time, having that freedom, and not, like, to Ian's point, not having responsibilities. Those are definitely the glory days.
All right, so let me know. 504-260-1870. We'll keep it going throughout the morning. Tell me, when were the good old days for you and why? Because I think a lot of us have a hard time believing that these are going to be the good old days when we look back, but you never know. Let us know. We come back. We can talk about this 8-year-old Louisiana young lady died after contracting a brain-eating amoeba while swimming. How rare is that, and how concerned should all of us be for our kids, grandkids, what have you? We are underway. Tommy Tucker, glad you're with us. Back in a flash, WWL. 6:13 now, highs of 91 today, a 40% chance for showers, and right now it's 77. And man, it rained hard yesterday afternoon, and it seems like we might be getting into a bit of an August pattern for now, but we'll see. Dr. Fred Lopez joins us now, professor of medicine, section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Dr. Fred. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy.
Let's talk about this this 8-year-old girl that died in the Ruston area. About this rare brain-eating amoeba. First of all, how rare is something like this, Dr. Fred?
It's really rare. On average, there are probably 3 cases of this brain-eating amoeba infection in the United States each year. So very uncommon. But this is the time of the year when we do see infections with this organism. Formally, its scientific name is known as Negleria fowleri, and it's found in warm freshwater lakes, rivers, canals, ponds throughout the United States when the temperature of water exceeds 80 degrees Fahrenheit. In fact, it can survive up to temperatures of 115 degrees Fahrenheit. So this is really a summertime infection, much like Vibrio vulnificus. The difference is that this organism is found in warm, freshwater bodies of water. And unfortunately, when this infection occurs, it's almost uniformly fatal. The mortality rate is greater than 97% if you get infected with this organism.
How hard is it to get infected with it?
Yeah, there's only one way this organism, which is a one-celled organism, there's only one way it can enter the human body, and that's exclusively through the nose when water containing the amoeba is forced up through the nasal passages, and then it can get to the brain. And once it gets to the brain, it can cause brain destruction, swelling of the brain. Then probably about 5 days after infection, people typically develop fever, headache, nausea, vomiting. And thereafter, it rapidly progresses to seizures and maybe coma before death. As I said, it occurs in more than 97% of people.
So they say they think it came from a lake in that area. And I'm at Lake Claiborne in North Louisiana. And I'm just wondering, how concerned do other people have to be that have been in that lake? Or does it depend on your condition, your health condition? Does it depend on what you do in the water? Because it would seem like if it's there, then maybe everybody should be concerned. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I think you need to think that if it's the summer and you're getting into fresh water, whether it be a lake, a river, a pond, you have to assume it likely contains this brain-eating amoeba. Most of these infections usually occur after someone goes swimming or diving into a lake, river, or other fresh water, and then that water goes up forcibly through the nasal passages to reach the brain. So you have to assume it's there. I must say that it's, again, a summertime infection when water temperatures are higher and water levels are lower. The other place where sometimes you can find this brain-eating amoeba is in poorly maintained swimming pool water and rarely in tap water. And so there have been rare reports of people who have used neti pots to cleanse mm-hmm. their sinuses with tap water that isn't sterile, that isn't boiled, isn't distilled. And that can also potentially contain this, although that's very rare. But that is another way by which some people have become infected with this brain-eating amoeba.
So we're talking about actually the water actually getting to the brain. Is that uncommon?
Well, it gets through the nasal passages, and that gives it an access to the brain if it's forcibly put through the nasal passages. This doesn't occur very frequently. It's very rare, but it can occur, and I think you have to assume this time of year, if you're getting into, again, fresh water, it likely contains this amoeba.
So I guess what I'm trying to figure out how it gets to your brain, it's not just a function of swallowing it or getting it on your hand or anything like that, right?
Yeah. Well, that's a really good point. You cannot get this infection from swallowing the water containing the amoeba. You can't get it from someone else who's infected with the amoeba. So in other words, it doesn't go person to person. This can only get into the body if this amoeba goes through the nasal passages and then can access the brain by that route. So there's no other way for it to infect a human.
The rarity of this, and I can only imagine what the parents are going through, how inconsolable they must be anytime, you know, anybody loses an 8-year-old. But for something this rare, is there any way to treat the water to prevent anything like this or not?
No, there's really nothing. It's a natural inhabitant of the water. And you're really right to emphasize how rare this is. In fact, from 1937 to 2025 in the United States, only 180 known cases of this infection. Louisiana, during that same period of time, had 3. So this will make it now the 4th. Infection since 1937 in Louisiana with this brain-eating amoeba. So very, very rare. I think you just need to know that it exists, and I think you need to know how to prevent the risk from getting infected, that risk being low to begin with. But you have to assume that these amoeba are in these warm, freshwater locations.
So how would you prevent that from happening? Just stay out of the water or be careful of what you do when you go in the water?
Yeah, I think that certainly avoiding the water would be one way. But if you're going to go into the water, hold your nose or wear a nose clip, particularly if you're going to be jumping or diving into that water where that water could forcibly be pushed up your nasal passages. Keep your head above water, particularly in hot springs where these amoeba really thrive. The amoeba tend to settle in the sediment and in mud in these freshwater locations. So if you're going to be underwater, don't mess with the sediment. In other words, don't try to rustle it up or make turbulence down in the bottom of the freshwater, because when you do that, you can let the amoeba circulate a bit more effectively. And then if you are going to use a neti pot to cleanse your sinuses, use distilled or boiled tap water when cleaning your sinuses. Those are some ways to prevent yourself from getting infected with this organism.
Now, let me take a quick break, Doctor. We're getting some text here. Somebody wants to know, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, lived in and on the water. Why didn't we ever hear about this previously? Where did it come from? Somebody else wants to know about why it progresses and why it's so fatal so quickly. We'll find out more when we come back with Dr. Fred Lopez, professor of medicine, section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. Tragically, Lillian Smart died 8 years old after being diagnosed with an infection from Naegleria fowleri, if I'm saying that right. It's a brain-eating amoeba. More with Dr. Fred when we come back right now, 6:21. We pause for traffic on WWL.
From Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters, WWL Traffic Sensor, I'm Courtney P. Over the Bonnie Carey Spillway, no issues or delays there in either direction. I-10 East, Skinner to downtown New Orleans, about a 12-minute commute. I-10 West, New Orleans East to downtown, you'll tap the brakes just before the high rise. Downtown elevated, clear to the flyover. Flyover lightly congested to Business 90. Carson City Connection, clear of all delay. UEP Long on the Causeway, no delays there. I-55 North and Southbound, free and clear. No delays on I-12. I-59 is delay free. And there's a look at traffic with Courtney P on WWL.
626, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Dr. Fred Lopez, our friend, professor of medicine, section of infectious diseases.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
LSU Health New Orleans. We're talking about 8-year-old Lillian Smart, who tragically lost her life due to a brain-eating amoeba. I guess infection, doctor, is that what it is? The amoeba comes in and infects the brain?
That's exactly correct. And gets to the brain. It bypasses the body's defenses and then can rapidly destroy brain tissue, resulting in massive swelling. And by the time we recognize the infection, it's usually too late for treating patients effectively. In fact, we really don't have a great medication treatment for this infection. There's only been about 5 well-documented survivors of this infection in North America. And every time someone survives, that cocktail of medications that was used to treat that patient becomes the new standard of care. But we'll never be able to study effectively what medications work best because of the rarity of these infections.
It just doesn't happen often enough, huh?
Exactly.
So what are the symptoms, doctor? Somebody wants to know.
Yeah, so usually what happens is that after about 5 days, people will then develop fever, headache, nausea, vomiting. And then it rapidly progresses, and these patients can then develop stiff neck, seizures, coma, and then, unfortunately, in more than 97% of cases, death.
You know, and as I hear you say that, I can only imagine as a doctor, when a patient presents themselves with those kind of symptoms, that could be a myriad of things, right?
Exactly. This is not one of the first things that we think of when we see people who present with fever and headache. There are other causes that are much more common, but this is the time of the year, and it's with the right exposure history, we should be thinking about the possibility of these infections, albeit they're very rare.
So when it comes to diagnosing it, is there a test that you give, or how do you know if they have it?
Yeah, we do have diagnostic tests. They're very specialized. They have to go to the right places. So we need to think about it if we're considering the diagnosis. Again, I think part of the issue is because of its rarity, we don't think about it. And oftentimes the detection of this infection, unfortunately, is sometimes after someone's already passed away from this infection.
Doc, let me ask you real quick while we have you. I got my flu shot on Saturday because they said it was time and they had it. Tell me what the situation is with the flu shot. Did I get the wrong one at the wrong time or not?
No, this is the time of the year that they start to become available. And so if you have access to flu shots, please, it's still universally recommended that everyone 6 months of age and older receive it every year. So it is a yearly vaccine. And it's going to target the strains of flu that we think are going to be most prevalent during this upcoming flu season, which typically begins October, runs through the end of May. So I would encourage the listeners to, again, get your flu shot this year and make sure that you're immunized against, you know, what a flu season that we still don't know whether it's going to be severe or not. We've certainly had some active flu seasons as of late this past year because of a strain that emerged in the southern hemisphere very late in their flu season. It was not included in our flu vaccine last year, and we had a pretty active flu season because of the emergence of that strain, because the flu vaccine didn't exactly match that strain that emerged. But hopefully this year, we'll have a better match and a much quieter flu season.
So the one that's out now is the one, right? I don't have to wait for another one to be updated?
No. Right now, the flu vaccines are becoming available for this upcoming flu season. Just need it once and just make sure to get it again next year when it comes around.
So I'm ahead of the game. If I can just get my taxes done now, we'll be all right. Thank you, Doctor. Appreciate it.
Yep. You bet.
Dr. Fred Lopez. We'll talk to Ross Jackson about the Saints when we come back right now. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Eno's then.
WWL First News, good morning at 6:31. I'm Ian Ozan on your official weather station, WWL. 75 degrees on the South Shore, 72 degrees on the North Shore.
Your Tuesday is going to be warm, not as hot as we were yesterday, only 90 degrees this afternoon. There's a 40% chance that you get an afternoon storm. This evening will be dry again tomorrow, back into the mid-90s, a couple storms possible.
WWL-TV meteorologist Peyton Malone has a full look at the forecast coming up in just a moment. Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry today will announce that SpaceX, the rocket launching company recently taken public by billionaire Elon Musk, is coming to the Pelican State. WWL's Chris Miller reports.
The announcement has been kind of an open secret, with SpaceX boss Elon Musk's jet having been spotted lately at South Louisiana airports. Gulf Coast Bank and Trust CEO Guy Williams says officials have been laying groundwork for this for a while.
The legislature passed a number of bills in the last session to make it possible and even desirable to have a spaceport in Louisiana.
The project could mean thousands of jobs employing highly skilled and educated workers in the aerospace field.
That announcement scheduled for 11 o'clock this morning in Abbeville. LSU's celebration of Skip Bertman's life will take place tonight at 7 o'clock at the Pete Maravich Assembly Center in Baton Rouge. Doors open at 6. General admission seating around the Upper Bowl is available. The event honors the Louisiana legend who died earlier this month at the age of 88. Doug Thompson was one of Bertman's national champion pitchers. He says it's a great opportunity to celebrate the icon.
I want to show you respect for Skip Bertman, what he built with all those championships, which is, of course, completely secondary to who the man was as a human being. August 25th is the night to do it.
WWL News Time, 6:33.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. A longtime friendly neighbor now wants to put up a fence. Canada to announce retaliation today for President Trump's 50% tariff threat on cars, car parts, and steel. Trump telling Canadian leaders to fall in line or face consequences far worse than the existing tariffs. Five states with critical Senate races count Canada as a major trading partner. Four are on the border. 15 minutes outside Reno, the Hawk Fire is less than one-third contained. Tens of thousands of people in shelters are praying their homes are okay. The wife of an Army sergeant is the latest military spouse to be deported, sent to Honduras after 10 years here. Denitza James is president of the group Repatriate Our Patriots.
Our service members are having to fight two battles, one on the forefront, really, because we are a country of war, and at home front, making sure that their families are being taken care of.
DHS says having family in the military is not a free pass to violate our nation's laws. This is ABC News.
WWL News Time, 6:34. At least two NFL players have decided to leave the pros to go play in college. Again, here's ABC's Hannah Batah.
Rookie tight end Dequan Wright was recently waived by the Cleveland Browns. Now, his agents say he has a deal to play for LSU this season. Former New Orleans Saints defensive lineman Xavien Harris is also headed back to college, also to LSU. It comes after the NCAA recently changed its rules to allow athletes 5 years to play. The rule change wasn't supposed to take effect until next season, but that sparked a legal battle. Wright and Harris were among those who sued to become eligible under the rule change.
WWL News Time is 6:34. Time for WWL Sports, brought to you by People's Health. And we'll start in Baton Rouge with the latest on the local take on these players who are returning to the college ranks from the pros. Here's WWL's Charlie Long.
This LSU update is brought to you by Rouse's Markets. Shop Rouse's, your number one local low price leader and the official supermarket of the New Orleans Saints. On Monday, Tiger head coach Lane Kiffin spoke to the media about the team's decision to sign former Cleveland Browns tight end Dequan Wright, as a temporary restraining order opened the door for the former UDFA alongside other athletes to return to college for one more season. Coach Kiffin explained why Wright's case won't be unique with this specific group of athletes.
I think it's really wrong to be critical of these kids. They were granted a fifth year by a judge.
judge saying that they were wronged by the NCAA and that they should have had the fifth year all along, like all the kids moving forward will have a fifth year. So I think there's a lot of misinformation that people don't understand why these are getting them. It's simply that a judge decided that they should have had the fifth year like everyone moving forward will have.
Wright wasn't the only former Ole Miss Rebel turned pro to join Coach Kiffin in Baton Rouge, as LSU also earned a commitment from defensive tackle Xavier Harris, who was waived by the Saints earlier this month.
The New Orleans Saints preseason finale is 3 days away, and the black and gold are still trying to find a rhythm in the run game. Here's WWL Steve Geller.
This training camp update sponsored by TrainSouth.com. It's hard to stop a train, but it's easy to afford one. The Saints' preseason loss to the Rams was ugly, but Kendra Miller gave Hudats a reason to cheer a little bit with some hard running. He was shaking off the rust from a back injury and looked like he hadn't missed a beat.
The work was really good for me, getting a feel of everything, but I feel good out there. Like, it doesn't feel like I really missed a step or anything. Just got to clean up a couple things, but I feel good.
With the competition heating up in the backfield, Miller's looking to stay healthy and lock down a role in the offense. The preseason finale comes Friday in Dallas.
WWL News Time is 6:36.
Now, the Surf Pro Cleanup Restoration and Construction Forecast on WWL.
Your Tuesday does come with a little rain in the forecast. The chance, though, is not as high as yesterday. I've got it at 40% this afternoon. The high is only 90 today. 94 tomorrow with a 30% chance for rain. 91 Thursday and Friday with a 50 to even 60% chance of rain. That's, again, Thursday, Friday. And then Saturday and Sunday around a 40 to 50% chance for some showers. From WWL Louisiana, I'm meteorologist Peyton Malone.
Thank you, Peyton. Right now, the airport in Kenner at 75 degrees, 72 degrees on the North Shore in Slidell. WWL News Time, 6:37. And it's time for traffic. Courtney, things picking up?
Things are picking up out there. From Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters, WWL Traffic Center, I'm Courtney P. Over the Bonnie Carey Spillway, no issues or delays there. I-10 East, Kenner 2 downtown New Orleans, about a 13-minute commute. I-10 West, Orleans East to downtown, the brake lights start at Crowder. Light congestion continues to the high rise. Downtown elevated, slow but steady to the flyover. Flyover moderately congested to Business 90. Crescent City Connection, clear of all delay. Huey P. Long on Causeway, no delays there. I-55 North and southbound free and clear. No delays on I-12. I-59 is delay free. Traffic is sponsored by Primary Care Plus. And there's your look at traffic with Courtney P on WWL.
Thank you, Courtney. I'm Ian Ozan, WWL First News. Now back to Tommy Tucker on WWL AM, FM, and .com.
So we're asking with our Taking It to the Tech survey at 504-260-1870, when were the good old days for you? Because it seems like, man, with the war, with prices, with inflation, these would be anything but the good old days. But some of the texts that are coming in, my good old days are happening right now. Oh. Retired, financially secure, getting ready to travel. It's good for you.
Retired, good and old, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know how old they
or
are.
Or maybe but retired
good.
Young.
Yeah, you don't know. 85 through 90, a Marine stationed in Kani Bay, Hawaii, learned to surf, boogie board, scuba dive, met my wife with virtually no responsibilities. Amen to that. Seasons of life. College was fun, but life's pretty good right now with wife and 11 and 14-year-old. Seeing them grow into young adults is awesome, and they aren't old enough to be too cool for me. 73 to 75, somebody says, junior, senior year of high school, wonderful. Somebody said, my good old days were in the 90s when I became old and mature enough to have a relationship with my parents as peers and friends.
Huh.
Which is kind of like the one with the kids, but a different time of life where the kids are getting old enough to be little people and not just kids. And then there's this one that says, no doubt the 70s. Keep on trucking, baby. So there you go. 504-260-1870. Tell me, what are your good old days? What time of life for you and why was it? You can make it the calendar time or you can just make it the time of your life and tell me, what were the good old days? Or do you think they're right now? We'll take a break, talk with Ross Jackson, host of the Locked On Saints podcast, find out what's going on with them, get his take on the Saints and the Cowboys game coming up, and then the regular season opener against the Lions. Tommy Tucker, glad you're with us. Back in a flash, WWL. Well, you can't go tonight, but you can tomorrow night, and I'm talking about to the Alder and Birch Steakhouse inside the Treasure Chest.
Delay free. He won't be long on the causeway. No delay.
It's Alder and Birch Steakhouse inside the Treasure Chest Casino. It's like this oasis, a nice, beautiful steakhouse right in the middle of the, well, toward the outskirts of the casino, I guess. You walk through the area and they got all this do 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 ding 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 ding. And then you go into this quiet atmosphere, and it's a nice steakhouse waiting for you. You're not going to regret it. From the moment you walk in, it's not just another dinner spot. It's an experience. Hand-cut, perfectly aged steaks, cooked exactly the way you want them. Fresh seafood that's flown in and prepared with real attention to detail. The scallops are delicious. And sides that don't take a backseat to anything on the plate. Let me tell you about the cocktails. Crafted, balanced, and well worth slowing down for. They make an old-fashioned that is second to none. They've got a new executive chef, too, that brings fresh ideas and bold flavors to the menu. So even if you've been to Alder & Birch Steakhouse before, there's probably something new waiting for you. Upscale but comfortable. No pressure, just really, really good food and a great atmosphere. You can make reservations, view the menu at treasurechest.boydgaming.com. And then tomorrow night, perfect for date night, celebrating something big, or just treating yourself to a midweek surprise, if you will. Don't overthink it. Make your way to Alder & Birch Steakhouse inside the Treasure Chest Casino. Come hungry, stay a while. You're going to enjoy the atmosphere. No kids, adults only. Go to treasurechest.boydgaming.com for Alder & Birch Steakhouse inside the Treasure Chest Casino. 646, 14 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, on this Tuesday, August 25th. We're asking you on the taking it to the text line at 504-260-1870. When were your good old days? Because it seems like you'd be hard-pressed to make a case that today are the good old days. But if you can, you can. Somebody said, I'm Dave Cohen's generation, a bit older, so I get the two Ians confused, but they both are great and deserve bigger roles. Okay. Another one says, good old days were before cell phones and the World Wide Web. Somebody else said, the good old days are right now when you can fight a war for over 6 months and lose less people than have died in the city of Chicago in the same period of time. Okay, I don't quite know what point you're trying to make there, but I guess you made it. We are getting ready to talk to Ross Jackson here. Yes, the host of the Locked On Saints podcast. How you doing, Ross?
Hey, man, doing great. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Thanks for taking the time. You got to quit hanging out with Doug Mouton, I'll tell you that.
No, I couldn't possibly.
No, I love it. Doug and I go back a long way. You got to love any show that starts with a cocktail, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So let's talk about the Saints after Saturday's performance. You ready to just cash in your chips and call it a season?
No, not necessarily. I do think that there are some like red flag type things that kind of come up from a game like that that mm-hmm. are worth paying attention to see if things improve as they get better as best as you can throughout the off season as it continues. But for the most part, I mean, very rarely is what you see in a preseason game with all 22 of your starters not on the field a one-to-one expectation of what it is you're going to see once the regular season begins. So I don't think it's worth cashing in the chips just yet, as I think you would expect as well. But certainly some trends to watch, though, as they move forward when it comes to things like penalties, injuries. And then I'd probably throw a couple of other things in there, like red zone offense and things like that. Things that we saw the team struggle with last year mm-hmm. that are kind of surprising is see them still struggle with, even at a different place in the roster already this year.
See, but the problem I have with that is, can you really draw a connection to the different people playing a different, you understand what I'm saying, Ross, the different roles?
Yes.
Because you got different players. It's this black and gold uniforms, like the old Seinfeld bit about rooting for the uniforms, not the players. But mm-hmm. So if the guys that play regularly are committing the red zone mistakes and the penalties, injuries, that's you can't do anything about that, I guess. But with the other part of it, how can you draw a comparison between them and the starters?
Yeah, that's why I say it's a trend to follow and then see if the issues continue and if the issues do end up presenting themselves when it comes to first team offense, first team defense. Because when you look at training camp, still some penalties for that first team offense, still some alignment issues for that first team offense going into the practices, still some challenges when it came to red zone in a couple of those situations as well, particularly when they were kind of going up against themselves. Now, there were some times where the red zone offense particularly looked much better, like up against Jacksonville. There were times where the red zone offense didn't look as good, like up against the Rams. And so I think it's just about following the trend to see if it gets better, to see if the sort of challenging nature of it is still there, rather than worrying about trying to pin what you've seen with the second and third team on the first team. You're just waiting to see if, okay, when the first team gets out there, do these things get better? And if not, then that's when you start paying attention to sort of, you know, what that trend ends up meaning for the team in 2026.
How has Tyler Shuck looked to you so far?
Just in command. That's the best way I could say it. He's been in command of the offense. He understands what it is that he's doing out there to a whole different level than he was last year. And last year, he was really impressive. Even just as a brand new player to the system, now he's had an offseason as the guy. No competition, no question marks, no conversation around that, anything. He's been the guy all throughout training camp, and he looks like it. He's leading the pregame huddles. He's taking steps forward in terms of leadership, things like that. I think one of the kind of best examples of where he is with understanding and being able to execute the system now comes to a big play that he and Chris Olave had during, I think it was the Cowboys joint practice, if I recall correctly, in which he went up to the line of scrimmage. It might have been Jacksonville, but he went up to the line of scrimmage with three plays having been called in the huddle, and basically had to get a look at the defense, see what they were showing pre-snap, and then adjust into a different play or stay in the play that he's in. He had a menu of three plays that he can kind of go with. He ends up changing the play based on what it is the defense shows, and then he and Chris Olave connect for a big completion downfield. And I think it's just that level now of for a second-year quarterback to, A, be able to cleanly call three plays in the huddle.
Yeah.
And then, B, get to the line of scrimmage and be able to make the right decision at the line of scrimmage. I think that shows that he's a bit beyond his years as a second-year rookie, or a second-year quarterback, excuse me.
That's a lot going on mighty quick. We'll pick it up with Ross Jackson. We come back, host of the Locked On Saints podcast. We'll talk about the kicking situation and more when we return. Right now, time for traffic, WWL.
From Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters, WWL Traffic Center, I'm Courtney P. Over the Bonnie Carey Spillway, no issues or delays there. However, I-10 East, Kenner 2, downtown New Orleans, have some moderate congestion in the airport area. Eases at about Veterans, remains clear to downtown from there. I-10 West, New Orleans, east to downtown, a slowdown begins at Reed. A little heavy through the Morrison Curve, traffic improving just before the high rise. Downtown elevated slow from St. Bernard to the flyover. Flyover heavily congested to Business 90. Crescent City Connection, West Bank to downtown. Light congestion begins at Stumpf, continues over the river. UAP Long on the Causeway, no delays there. I-55 north and southbound, free and clear. No delays on I-12. I-59 is delay free. And there's your look at traffic with Courtney P on WWL.
All right, let me tell you about my boy Troy Duhon, his premier family of dealerships. Been around over 30 years. And Troy has been dedicated to the community and to your experience when you purchase a vehicle from the Premier family of dealerships. That's whether you're looking for something new or a Premier certified pre-owned vehicle you can buy with confidence. Every Premier certified vehicle is thoroughly inspected, comes with a 30-day powertrain warranty and a 3-day money-back guarantee. That means when you see these little temporary license plates that say Premier certified pre-owned, and we've all seen them, that means that person had 3 days to decide whether to keep it or bring it back. And most of the time, they decide to keep it. And with every vehicle Premier sells, every repair they make, Premier continues to support local charities through the Giving Hope Initiative, which helps to make our community stronger. Giving Hope NOLA, started by Troy some 8 years ago. It's grown pretty big, but they need your help, man. If you can volunteer at givinghopenola.org a couple hours each week, combined with the other person's couple hours, is going to create this synergy that provides a lot of help with a little effort of your part. And if you can, get the kids involved, man, knock out some service hours for school. It'll be a good family day of service. So you can shop online at premierdreamsanddriveways.com. You can volunteer at givinghopenola.org, or you can just head on out to one of the dealerships. A hot day is a good day to make a deal. Toyota of New Orleans, Premier Honda, Premier Nissan of Metairie, Premier Kia of Kenner. On the West Bank, if you go to LaPalco, you'll find Premier Nissan of Metairie the West Bank. I'll get it straight. Premier Volkswagen on LaPalco on the West Bank. Then on the expressway, you'll find Premier Hyundai and Premier Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Harvey. Got that? Good. Shop online at premierdreamsanddriveways.com. 6:56, 4 till 7, back with Ross Jackson, host of the Locked On Saints podcast. I'm Tommy Tucker. This is WWL. Ross, tell me about the Locked On Saints podcast.
Yeah, 30 minutes daily, Monday through Friday. It's keeping up to date with the Saints, try to keep everything strictly Saints, you know, related there with that 30 minutes to kind of help people get through, you know, their commute in the morning, their commute back home in the evening, whatever it might be. But been doing this show now for 8 years, available wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. It's been a ton of fun. We got even more cool stuff on the way with it, too.
What about these rumors that you're going to leave professional broadcasting and go back to college?
That would be false. Those would be false.
Let's talk about
if there's the right NIL deal, then maybe we'll have some conversation.
Never turn down money, Ross, ever. Let's talk about the kicking situation. What do you think about this guy they brought in?
Yeah, Daniel Carlson, man, he comes in with some pretty good experience. Obviously, 8 years of NFL experience already. So second team All Pro in 2021, first team the year after, and. You know, carries about an 86%, just north of an 86% career field goal percentage, had about 81% last year, which is, you know, good. But in any case, it's better than where the Saints were last year. It's where they were near the bottom of the NFL in field goal percentage as a team. And so I think he comes in and it becomes a legitimate three-player competition, which shows you that neither Tanner Brown nor Charlie Smith was doing enough to necessarily seal the deal for themselves here throughout training camp and the preseason. So it'll either be that Carlson comes in and kind of sweeps this thing away, or Carlson coming in kind of raises the stakes for the other guys. And we've seen Charlie Smith rise to the occasion in those situations before.
If I had to predict, I'd say Carlson is the guy, but we'll see. Tell me about injuries. How bad are they?
Yeah, I mean, look, we were in practice yesterday, and there were 21 players that were either not on the field or were on the sideline. And so I would say that they're pretty bad. Look, now, not all of those players are players that are your starters. Not all those players are players that are even going to make the 53-man roster. But, you know, when you have players that are down, like Quincy Riley, your starting cornerback, Alvin Kamara, your starting running back, Cam Jordan on your defensive line, and you've also got a guy like Brian Brzee out for the season, Jordan Tyson out for a couple of months, those are costly injuries. Now, you hope that by the time you get around to week one, some of those names, like Kamara, Riley, Jordan, who are, you know, there's like, you know, that could bleed into the regular season, that they don't. And then that makes you sort of feel better about it. And then it just shows you that, okay, this is a team that's just continuing to be very cautious, because that's kind of the way that they are with injuries. But until then, I think it's worth being concerned over, just because it would be unrealistic not to be. You want to see these players out on the field. You want to see them getting ready for the season. If they're not out on the season, if they're not out on the field, there's reason for concern there.
How concerned are you about Jordan Tyson?
That one, not so much about. Look, it thinks that he's going to be out for a couple of weeks, but I don't think that him having a recurrence of the hamstring was a surprise. I think that anytime that you're talking about hamstring injuries, it's when, not if. So I would expect to see this multiple times over his career. I think the biggest thing, a la, you know, Odell Beckham Jr., a la Marshawn Lattimore, a la Julio Jones, a la Mike Evans, like, I think what really matters with him is what's the performance in between the injuries, not necessarily do the injuries stay away or do the injuries persist.
Performance between the injuries. I love that phrase. Thank you, Ross Jackson. Say hello to Doug Mouton. We'll be back talking about LSU football.
Lemonade! Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.